What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Scale Riders Podcast. This is your host, 65 Lokes. This is episode number 111. My guest for this episode is Alex Ramirez, also known as El Handis, all the way from Northern California. He's known for doing the Model Car and Pizza nights out there, so let's go ahead and hit him up and see what he's been up to as of late. What's up, Alex? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing, dude?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Welcome back again to another episode.
Right on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude. No, definitely, man. I wanted to thank you again for doing that event that you did, the pre-party, earlier in January. I mean, it feels like it hasn't been that long, you know, even though this month's flying by.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah, it was a trip. I wasn't expecting it to have that much of an outcome. But then again, I want to thank all of you guys for helping me out, you know, spread the word and let people know where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I was literally expecting maybe 20 people at the most, but I wasn't expecting to take over the entire Roundtable Pizza that day.
I know, dude. There was a lot of people that were there. I was going to ask you, like, leading up to like, that day, I remember, like, a while back you had mentioned about that you wanted to do it like maybe the day before, like a pre-party. But were you ever like a little bit nervous or anything like that getting closer to the date?
Honestly, I was for a bit, because I was thinking, I was like, damn, you know, it's like, what if I set this up the day before and then like nobody shows up and I'm just sitting there by myself with my buddy Brandon, you know, like thanks to him too for helping me out. So actually, me and him, when we were driving on the way up there to the pizza place, we were driving, and we're like a few exits away, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot to type in the address. So we type in the address on the Google Map things. We pulled up, and for a second, we thought it was closed, because all the windows, like, were dark, and you couldn't see the lights were on. I'm like, oh, shit. Then I got really nervous right there. Mm-hmm. But then I seen the sign that says, you know, entrance around the corner or whatever. So we went around the corner and seemed, all right, cool, they're open. And then there was probably like two or three employees there at the time. There wasn't that many people in there. And I asked them, I was like, hey, is it cool to use that room in the back? And the guy was like, yeah. He's like, you having like a little pizza party thing? And I was like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, no worries. He's like, I'll go and set it up for you. I'm like, okay. So we're sitting there waiting. And we're thinking they're going to move tables around, do all this other stuff. And the guy just goes over, turns on the lights, and comes back, okay, your table's ready. I was like, this fucking guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But we sat there, me and my buddy Brandon, and we were talking, and just bringing up old stuff from back in the day with model car stuff. And then next thing you know, people started rolling in, the table started getting full, and by like 6:15, the table was full. I was like, holy shit.
Dang, yeah. So, that day, you guys kind of just walked in that day and just told them, yo, can we use that room pretty much?
Yeah, because a buddy of mine works at Tesla down the street. Mm. And he goes there for lunch, and he told me, he's like, hey, there's the round table over here. And he's like, they got a little pizza room in the back. So I was like, all right, cool. We'll see if I can just use that. And I had called him a few days before. Mm-hmm. And I guess whoever I spoke to wasn't there. And the guy's like, yeah, it's no worries. So you don't have to reserve it or nothing. He's like, usually nobody ever uses it. So okay.
Oh, that worked out good then. Yeah, because I would think, because that was a nice size room, I would think people would reserve it and be like, yay. Because over here, like the pizza places that are close to where I'm at, they don't really, the ones that I've gone to, I've never really seen like a room, like a private little room. It's all kind of out in the open.
Yeah.
But out there, when I walked into the place, I saw it was wide open, and then I was like, where are the models? And then I saw everybody out in the corner, and I was like, oh, they're in that area. I was like, cool. And then once you walked in, I was like, whoa, there's like a lot of cars, dude, on this table.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, it made it more difficult for me to pick out a couple cars for the awards. And I was just kind of like, shit, I'm like, how am I going to do this without getting beat up in the parking lot afterwards?
Right? But hey, what the hell? Yeah, it was a trip because, like we were in the hotel getting our cars and just our things ready. And I was with Dennis Matthews, and then we're like, hey, let's head out. I think we're like about 30 minutes out from where we're at. So we jumped on the freeway, made our way over there, and, you know, we're getting our things from the car. And I was already like, man, I got to take photos. I got to take, you know, footage and whatnot. But I also brought some stuff to give to some of you guys, you know, like magazines and stuff. And I was kind of like, I don't want to be carrying too much stuff, so I'm going to have to make trips, like go check it out for a bit, come back, grab stuff, and go back in. And as I'm like in the trunk kind of deciding what I'm going to take first, and then I was about to get my car too, Dennis was like, yo, let's check it out first before we bring our cars, because what if it's already packed, you know? And then I was like, yeah, we should do that. And then we see Luis, we run into him, he's like walking out. And we're like, yo, is it cool to bring our cars in or what? And he's like, dude, it's like mad packed right now. And I thought he was joking. He's like, no, I'm serious. He's like, it's packed. Just go check it out. Go see for yourself. And we're like, all right, dope. And it was funny because I did think that the entrance was in a different area. But he's like, no, you're going through here. This is the entrance. And I was like, all right, dope. And dude, once I went in there, I was like, I just saw so many familiar faces. It was crazy. Like, it was really hard for me to see, like customers, you know, that were just kind of there on their own.
Yeah.
I didn't really see that. Like, there might've been a couple, but majority of everybody that was spread out, it was mostly people that I see in the model car scene.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away by that, dude. I was like, dang, dude. Like, cause I saw you posted on Instagram, March 2nd. Was that the first one you did?
Yeah, that was the very first one I did. And that one was over here in Oakland, in the Oakland Hills, in a tiny little pizza place. And it's like a little mom and pop shop. And, I stop at that one every now and then, and it's a pretty cool little hangout. It's pretty calm, pretty chill. And like, the first time I went in there to have pizza, you know, it was me and my fiance were talking, and then she mentioned it. She's like, what if you do a pizza night thing here? Because I was trying to look for a spot. And I was like, I don't know if the owner would trip off of it or not. Because sometimes they're kind of like, you know, they don't want people just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he came up to the table to bring us our pizza, and I asked him, I was like, hey, what would you think of doing like a model car show here? And he's like, our car show? I was like, no. And I showed him pictures of the model cars. And he's like, a show? I was like, no, it's just kind of like a show and tell. Everybody hangs out and just eats pizza and this and this. I'm like, we get to hang out, and in return, we bring you business too. And then like, he looked at me hella like confused. He's like, how big are these cars? And I was like, all right. So the next day I came back, and I brought over a few model cars, and I showed them to him. And he was just tripping out. He was like, what the fuck? And he was looking at them. He's like, do you buy these? I was like, yeah, you buy them, but you got to paint them, assemble them, this and this and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how come it doesn't look like the one in the box? I'm like, well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
You got to do it the way you want to do it. He was like, okay, yeah, fuck it. He's like, just use all the tables you want, rearrange everything and some of this. And we threw the first pizza night there. He was blown away. Like, he kind of like accidentally ignored a few customers that were waiting in line because he was checking out the model cars around the table.
Yeah, he was all into it.
Yeah, he was like all about it. And then after that, I talked to him at the end of the night, and I'm like, well, so what'd you think? And he was like, whenever you want to use my place, just tell me when, time, date, whatever. Take over the whole place. He's like, I don't care. He's like, it's fun. He's like, you guys were big, but not rowdy and loud. He's like, you guys are cool. He's like, just use it. I was like, cool.
Yeah, that's dope.
So ever since then, we use that place. If not, I'm trying to switch it up to different locations,
mm-hmm.
especially since us here in the Bay Area, we're kind of like spread out.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys are in San Jose. Some of the guys are like Emeryville. Some of the guys are in Stockton, Tracy. So everybody has to drive at least minimum 20, 30 minutes sometimes just to come out to the pizza night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really appreciative when the guys do that. And it's at the end of the night. Some of them are just getting off work and they're just tired as hell. And they're, you know, just want to go out there and hang out, have a good time. So trying to make it good for everybody to have a good time and just hang out and get to know each other. And it's been working so far pretty good, which I'm pretty grateful and really surprised it's going so well.
Yeah, that's cool that you're going to be coming up on a 1-year anniversary, You know, because I know you got you got more. You got plans, so I know for sure there's be more coming up with that. And that's, I think it's tight that you switch it up in different locations, keep it more interesting too, different environments.
Yeah, because I figure it kind of gives them a return of favor to them. Like, some of you guys drive out so far, like, all right, I'll go out to your way, and just that way it's my turn to drive far and you don't have to drive that far. And then little by little, but some of the other pizza places that I found, awesome pizza, really good flavors and everything, but it's just so small and so crowded so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the owners are like, yeah, we'd love to have that here, but you know, it just takes up so much room. I was like, yeah, no, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sooner or later, I find like a different spot.
No, yeah, it's tough, but yeah, I think it worked out great. I feel like a lot of the energy was like shown that night, you know, from everybody. People are driving out that day, getting there on time, and just being there at night. It's almost like you didn't want it to end, but those couple hours, or even, I mean, it went over the couple hours that it was set for. It went by pretty fast, you know?
Yeah, because I was gone by like 9:15, 9:20, and some of the guys still hung out, so that place closed, and I guess it closed, like 11 or something?
Yeah, we stayed, like, at the end, like, we were packing up, but we were just kind of chopping it up, taking our time. Because then Armando was like packing up, we were helping him out, carrying some stuff. And it was just funny because the guys working there, they were just cleaning, you know, putting things away and whatever. They were already closing up. And we were just kind of joking around, telling them like, yo, we'll be back next week. You know, be ready. And like, I don't know, they were overhearing, but one dude were like, hey, we'll be back next week. All right, man. Like, thanks. It was fun. And they're like, yeah, yeah, cool. So I was thinking, you know, they were probably imagining, like, damn, these guys are going to be back again.
They're like, fuck that. I'm putting them on 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, dude. Because I could tell when I was looking at all the tables and everything, I was like, man, these guys got a lot of work tonight. Fuck. But I'm sure they made good money that night, too.
Oh, yeah, because, like, almost every other person that walked in bought a pizza. So I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Then plus, like, drinks, sodas, everything, you know, it all adds up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, that was cool. That was a really cool thing that came together. Yeah, because right after it was just like, all right, let's go back hotel, you know, relax. I had to still do some work on some of my display before I went to sleep. I got that done, and then I was like, all right, cool, now I could go to sleep. And it was hard for me to sleep. I was just too excited thinking about the next day too, you know. And I don't know, I think like once the show started, like the NNL West, I was like super pumped and stuff. But then towards the end, I started to get, you know, you start to get tired later in the day.
Yeah, that shit usually kicks in like around 1:30, 2 o'clock, you start feeling it. It's like standing there, and it's like, fuck. And then how you and Lise were talking on one of the podcasts too, it was like, there's really nowhere to eat in the little restaurant next door.
Uh-huh.
It's cool and all, but fuck, that shit's expensive there. So it's like, same thing like you guys were talking, like if you leave, you lose your parking spot. And then especially that day, there was all kinds of other events going on in that building.
Yeah, there was like some, like, I don't know if there were pageants or competitions. They're having something in those other rooms. So it's like,
because even though I was like, man, what if I ordered pizza? I'm like, ah, fuck, I ate hella pizza last night too. So I was like, oh, I don't want pizza right now.
Yeah. Eat all kinds of it. What'd you end up picking up at the NNL West?
Not too much, actually. Ever since I moved to our new spot, well, I've already been here for about a year. But I realized how much fucking model cars I got. So I was like, damn, I got a lot of shit. And I'm kind of sitting there staring at all of them. And I'm kind of like, all right, I don't really need more model kits. Like, if it's a certain ones that I want, then I'm pretty much hard to find. Like, I'll get them. But if not, I'm just going to get a bunch of accessories. So little by little, I've been phasing out some of my model cars. I've been selling them or trading them. Or just giving them away to people that want to get into the hobby. And so when I was at NNL, I was just going through, bought some paints, like some wheels, and I was going through a lot of the $5 bins, the dollar bins, you know, I was finding all kinds of good stuff. I found like spoilers for some of my imports, I mean, some badass wheels, like racing type wheels.
Nice.
I mean, a little bit of everything. I mean, got stuff from Smiley from Showcase Hobbies. I've got some stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
Then Erd Deeks was out there too. I didn't really get too much things from him, but he had like a bin full of dollar stuff.
Mm-hmm. Those are always fun to look at.
And he had like, yeah, because he had like custom grills, like billet grills and like 50s and 60s style custom grills and bumpers. And I just filled up the bag. And at the end, he was like, oh, I don't want to count all that shit. He's like, just give me $5 for the whole bag. And I was like, cool.
All that work, man. That's dope. Yeah, like I kept it light, man. This year, like from previous years, I just go a little crazy buying all this stuff. And when I come home, I mean, I'm happy with it. I have no regrets, but, you know, it starts to pile up. This time I was telling myself, all right, I'm not gonna get nothing. But then I was like, you know what? Out of respect for the model game and the car scene and everything, I gotta buy something, you know. So I just bought one model kit and then some loose parts. I picked up some like grills and just loose pieces from Showcase Hobbies too.
Yeah.
So I was like looking through his bin of like loose parts. I like that he does that. He bags everything up and he has it all sectioned with all the bumpers, grills, and then all headlights, all the little different accessories, like used stuff and then the new stuff.
Yeah.
So that's always pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got tons of stuff too. And I think he's adding even more stuff to his website with all like the, I guess he's calling it the junkyard section, and it's all like loose parts like that too.
Oh, I didn't even know that. So that's cool. That sounds pretty dope. Junkyard section.
Nice. Yeah, so it's all gonna be like loose end parts. So honestly, I think I have like two or three boxes I might give them that I have a bunch of parts.
Yeah, you could put them up there. That's cool.
Because I looked through some of the boxes and some of the stuff that I still have is from like middle school. So it's like I opened the box and like, damn, I haven't seen this in my report cards since middle school too. So shit.
Uh-huh.
Been that long since I looked in this box.
Yeah. this last weekend on Saturday, it was the we had a model car show here locally. It was called the Model Fest that took place.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And this is the first time that I actually booked the booth to vent to sell model kits, because this is the second time I've gone to Model Fest. No, the third time. And, you know, every time I look at the flyer, there's a section in there that it'll state, like, you know, if you want to sell models or if you want to get rid of kits and whatnot, you know, you could book a table and, you know, call us now and all this stuff. And I was like, considering it, I was like, you know what? I have all these model car kits back at my parents' house, and you know, the ones I have here at my place now, like I see them all the time. So those are the ones I just get to, cause I see them in my closet.
Yeah.
And they're just here, you know, I could mess with them. But the other ones, I was like, I don't even really mess with those. And then on some have doubles or I have more, you know? So I was just telling myself, you know what? I need to downsize. I need to definitely like sell them. And I was just like, this would be the right spot right here because it's so close by. I can just like pick them up, take them to the show, sell whatever I can, and then whatever's left, I'll just bring it back. And I can just, you know, it's like a 20-minute drive, so it's nothing too crazy. And it was interesting. Like I was getting a little stressed out like the night before because I just kept like in my head knowing, all right, I got to go to sleep at this time. I got to wake up at this time. Then, you know, just the steps that I had to do to get over there. Finally, once I got in there really early, Dave McGowan helped me, like carry my stuff too, because I had a lot of those plastic containers full of kits.
Yeah.
So he helped me out, got all set up, and then I was ready to go. I was there pretty early, so I was just like, all right, I'm all set. And I was just kind of just chilling, and dude, the time went by fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it went by quick, dude. Like, and then people, even before they even opened the doors, you know, like, vendors are always like, hey, what's up, you know? And then they start picking stuff up.
Yeah.
And then little by little, people start coming in, and they just start grabbing things, And it's crazy. It's just like, no, you know, not, they just grab them and be like, here, I'll take this one, I'll take this one, I'll take this one. And then next thing you know, I'm like, man, like, a lot of this stuff's running out. I brought a bunch of paint with me too. And even that, I got rid of a lot of the paint that I brought out. The only thing that I felt really bad for is, because I had to go to a birthday party. So I was like, all right, I got to jam at 12. I can't be here till 3.
Yeah.
So Armando was there hanging out with me and Ivan. And I told them, yo, I got to bounce, dude, like at 12. So they were like, what? It's 12? We got to leave too. So they lost track of time. They told me we're going to leave at 10. And,
oh, shit.
And that didn't happen. They ended up kicking it longer and packed things up. And at that time, I was like, oh, dope. Now that I'm packed up, I'm going to go take photos of the cars of the competition. Because I didn't even get to see any of the cars in person.
Yeah.
That of the tables, because I was over here in the booth. And by then I asked the owner of Ventura Hobbies, that who is the one who hosts this event. And I was like, hey, are they doing the judging right now? Or is that going to be later? He's like, oh, they started on that like 15 minutes ago. And when they do the judging, they block it off from the public to be over there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, because they have like a crew of like judges. It's not just like, you know, like one or two people. It's like a lot of different judges. And because there's all these different categories, but they kind of barricade the area. So you can't even go over there, you know? So this kind of also provokes people to like hang out in the vendor area. I could have hung out still to be like, oh, dope, I'll make some more sales. But I was already like tapped out. I was like, I got to go. I got to be at a birthday party at 3.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see some people that were there, and I didn't even get to see some cars that were there. And I was like, dang, like no content, like no photos or nothing. I felt all weird, like leaving, you know? I was like, damn, am I bad for like anybody who was there that had their cars there that I didn't even get to take photos of, you know? I was like, dang. And then I just took off, and because I had to drive all the way to LA and all that. So I made it on time, dude, but a lot was on my mind that day.
Yeah, it's tough, like, when you're selling at events, like, even, like, the actual automotive swap meets I go to sometimes. Back in the day, like, maybe 10 years ago, I used to work in a lot of cars in my old garage, so I always had all these extra parts. So every now and then, I go to some of these little swap meets and just post up and start selling shit. And, like, I know how you feel when you're sitting there, and you're like, I see some friends roll up, like, hey, I didn't check this out, I got this for, like, $10. It was like, I need one too, and I can't go because I got to fucking sit here by myself and just sell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you miss out on all your stuff, but at the same time, it's like, I guess the money kind of makes up for it in a way, but
yeah,
it does get frustrating because you see everybody else walking like, what'd you get that? They're like, oh, over there. Like, they got any more? Oh, like,
nah, yeah. And like, I know Armando and Ivan were there. I know if I would have told them, like, yo, I'll be back, you know, let me go. I didn't want to do that just because they weren't there for that. They were there to like check out the cars and then also to buy some stuff, you know, from the vendors. So I didn't want to put a burden on them like, yo, I'll be back real quick. And then I'm like 30 minutes, an hour gone, taking photos and video and chopping it up, you know? And they're like, dude, what the hell? So I was kind of like telling myself, like, next time if I ever do this again, I need to be prepared. With some, like, you know, someone that can help me, that just in case if I need to step away for like 30 minutes or so to get some content, it's possible to do.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a good experience overall as far as like selling for model cars for that swap meet. So I mean, in the future, if I ever did have more, like a lot more cars to sell there, I'd probably do it again, you know. But,
yeah, because I've been hearing about it for a while. Like, even some of the hobby shops out here, a few of the guys brought it up. And then when I seen you posted it, and then a few other people posted it, I was like, oh, fuck, it's coming up.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I had to help out a buddy on that Saturday. So I had to help him with his car. Then it was actually one of my good friend's birthday party. It was like a surprise party, which I ended up late to his birthday party, but I surprised him anyway. My feet surprised anyway. So. Have you ever heard about it, and I've seen pictures. It's like, it should be kind of fun. Like, maybe probably next year, hopefully I could be able to make it out there. So,
yeah. Have you thought about maybe coming out sometime this year to one of the shows?
I'm hoping to this year, but it's kind of a busy schedule for me. I'm helping my buddy restore his dad's, what's it, 59 or 60 Buick. And, it was passed down to him through the family, but since it's a convertible and it sat outside, like, a lot of the sheet metal got rusted out in that car and just rotted. Dang. So we cut off both quarter panels, and I'm doing all the sheet metal work for him and helping him out big time.
Mm-hmm.
So that pretty much takes up all my Saturdays right there. So I'm like, all right, so. Then again, I'm missing fishing events and other hangout events, whatever, but it's no big deal. It's like, it's a good buddy of mine. I've always been helping him out. He's helped me out too.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as the Saturday opens up, I'm trying to go do stuff for me. Of course, my fiance's like, oh, we're going to do this for the wedding planning and this and this. I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot about that too.
Yeah.
It ain't one thing and it's another, but if I do happen to make it out to something this year, I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it to Cadillac Fest. I don't know if I've heard anything about that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard anything either for that. The only show that I know that's coming up in May, it's May 3rd on a, I believe it's on a Sunday. It's the SoCal Open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one that's coming up should be pretty dope. I would say, you know, if it's not Cadillac Fest, then it's this show. Like, as far as, like, at a venue. Like,
yeah.
To me, I feel like those are the two shows that a lot of people attend. And then aside from that, it would be more like the meets that they do at the parks. Those are other events where a lot of people tend to go as well. But it's not very formal, you know, at a spot. It's just, you know, like at the park, just chill. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like this year coming up, SoCal Open, that's on a Sunday. And last year I was there just for a little bit, but for the time that I was there, it was already like the tables were getting packed. And then by the time I left, I had heard that like 2 hours later, like they got even crazier, like full. And that's that's a good one. 'Cause there's some people that go to that one that can't make it to NNL West.
Mm.
And they're over at this one over here. So it's always like pretty cool to see that, you know?
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of different cars. Luis has been considering probably coming out to that one.
Yeah, he mentioned it at NNL because I had told him too. I was like, man, I was thinking of probably hitting up some of the shows down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I was like, either hopefully this year, but next year for sure.
Yeah.
And then again, my bucket too, it's running rough. I think it'll make it out there, but I don't think it'll make it back. So that Grapevine Hill, that shit beats the hell out of people's cars sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, who knows, man. Maybe you guys could figure out a road trip or something together in case an opportunity this year, you know? But if not, yeah. I mean, next year, it's all good. Like, they're gonna keep doing them because they've been having a lot of good success with these shows every year. A lot of people do come out. I'm going to definitely want to come out. I just got to see based on my work, because that's like the Sunday before Mother's Day. And then we get busy at work too. Like, we got to do a lot of prep work. So
yeah.
I got to see what's up once we get closer to the dates on that right there. Going back to the Model Car and Pizza Night, you had two awards, right, for that night?
Yeah.
And yeah. I know George got one, Vision 124. You had picked his bug that he had done. And who was the other person that won?
I can't remember the name off the top of my head, and I apologize to him.
Yeah.
It was like a fully skirted 1930s pickup, like a Ford pickup. It was
okay.
A dark color.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to me, that thing stood out because it was completely different, just clean, simple, and just different overall, and it just really caught my attention.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the simplicity of the thing. It's like I've gone to actual car shows, and I looked at real cars, and I get that some of the cars that are, like, you know, over the top, they got this, custom out and this, blah, blah, blah. But then you see the car next to it, it's just clean, simple, not too much detail, but it just pulls your attention so much to it compared to the other one. And that's what that one did. Like, I know my little event, it's not like a big show where, you know, you get big recognition or anything, but, you know, it's just, I do admire, like, the details some people do on their cars, but sometimes, like, simple is, it's good, and then sometimes, you know, over the top is even better sometimes, but this one had a little bit of both. And for people to actually build, you know, when you see something like that, it's like, fuck, that's not simple right there, what they did. It's like, they had to do this, shave this down, cut this up, and cover that up, and mold this. And I was just stuck on that truck the entire time, too, so I really liked it. And I'll see if I can find a picture of it, and then I'll tag you on it, or I'll send it to you, too.
Yeah, I like to see it. Because, yeah, I remember, like, you know, seeing George with the award, and then with his car, but I didn't get to see the other one. I was thinking maybe the other person took off or something, you know? Or
yeah,
maybe
from
I
what
just
I heard,
must have missed them.
Yeah, from what I heard, he took off pretty early. I think he was in a group with a bunch of other people. So I guess they were all getting ready to go to get ready for the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm still completely overwhelmed by it. Like, even on the way home, me and my buddy Brandon were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he asked me, he was like, were you expecting that? I was like, fuck, not at all, dude. Like, I was expecting a small group of people, what I'm used to when I do the local pizza nights over here. It's like maybe 15 people, 20 at the most. And then
yeah.
I think we had probably over 100 people in that pizza place. So.
That's tight, man. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you guys just keep it up, dude.
It's good to see everybody get together like that. Because, you know, for a brief moment, everybody forgets about the stress of traveling and then bringing all the models and anything else is bothering people throughout the day. Like, you get there and everybody's like, they see everybody else's build and they get to meet new people. And what was really cool, I kept looking around it a few times and everybody's like, oh shit, finally, like, I'm glad to finally meet you. And like, oh, all these years following on Instagram or Facebook, whatever. Like, here you are in person. And I was like, I did hear that a lot that night too. That made me feel pretty good. So like, yeah, it's pretty cool that people are actually getting to see a face to what these cars are about, you know?
Yeah, it was a really cool, like, a meet spot right there for everybody. Cause yeah, I did overhear people saying like, yo, what's up? And it's crazy cause sometimes people are interacting with each other. They're talking or they're setting up their car and they're talking, but they don't even know who each other are yet, you know?
Yeah.
Until and because they're so caught up in the conversation about the cars and what they did and this and that. And then finally it's just like, hey, what's your name? And then it's like, oh, it's you. What? You know? And
yeah,
like things like that too. And I remember at some point, you know, talking, like, it's crazy because I'm like, all right, like, I have all my friends here that I normally see regularly. And then we have some other friends that I don't see as much. And I know them too. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, they already all know each other, you know? But then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't think they ever really officially met, you know? I'm sure they follow each other, but, and they like each other's stuff, but I don't think they've officially met. So then it was one of those things where you have to kind of just throw it out there. Like, hey, this is so-and-so, you know? And then this is it. And then they're like, oh, what's up? And then it just kind of like puts it all together. But yeah, I saw a lot of people introducing people to each other. So that was cool.
Yeah, because it tripped me out too. Because like people walk in with boxes full of model cars and everybody's just staring at them like, who's this person? And open the box and you see one of the model cars like, oh shit, that's so-and-so right there. And they just rush them right away.
Yeah, it's really interesting how a model car represents you, you know?
That's true. Cause
you start doing the mock-up of it and the body work and people are following it, you know? And you start to win people over, like, oh, I love the way that looks. And then you start to inspire people like, oh, I want to get that kit too. I want to try that. Finally, you start to bring that car to life, you know, and then you're done with it. It's all set up. And now this is like your car you're bringing out to all the shows. And it's crazy because it's a model car, but it's like you're getting that credit, like if it's a real car, you know?
Yeah.
Because when you see a real car and you go to a car show and you take photos of it and you post it online, you know, chances are someone's going to tag the owner of that car on your photo, even if you don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
Now everybody's like, yo, that's so-and-so's car, or hey, check out a picture of your car on Alex's page or something, you know? And then you're like, dang, like, it's crazy. It's just crazy how it goes down.
That's one resemblance I've noticed with the model car community and, like, the real car community. It's like people know you by your car before they even know your name. They'll be like that for years, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, even when I first got introduced to the automotive scene with my brother, that's when we're all running around with, like, little Datsun 510s. And then with the Datsun 510 community, back then it was still small. And even though now it's smaller, but it's more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we go to all these events. Like, we go all the way to Mount Shasta for, like, the Datsun meet. And we see the car. I'm like, oh, here's the car of that one guy. And then we'd be at the swap meet talking, and the person selling parts, that was his Datsun. And we're kind of like, yeah, we came all the way out here to go look at the car, and they're sitting right over there, the one with the bubble flares and the green paint job, this and this. And the guy's like, oh, that's my car. I was like, oh, so you're the guy with this car. So you're the green Datsun. And it's like, you're known as your car. And it's like, they don't even know your name. And sometimes people don't even care about your name. They just want to know more about your car than you do sometimes. They start analyzing your car. Like, so how do you do this? And where'd you get this from? And blah, 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 blah. And it's just, some people build friendships off of that and other people don't. And it's just, one way or another, it kind of works out in a way. Kind of weird, but.
Yeah.
But what I noticed, like, with the model car community now, it's like, now it's a little bit more open. So everybody's more willing to share knowledge and, like, how'd you do this? Like, oh, I did it this way and blah, 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 blah. And that, like, shit, back in the mid-90s, late 90s,
mm-hmm.
nobody would even say anything. It's like, how'd you do the interior like that? Like, don't worry about it. It's like, why not? It's like, it's for me to know. I need to find out. I was like, well, I'm trying to find out. And nobody wants to say anything. Fuck.
Yeah, was that when, like, the magazine sales were up, like, on Scale Auto or something, just for the tutorials?
Yeah, so I never really knew about Scale Auto till, like, probably 1998. And at first, I thought they were always die-cast cars, because I looked at the picture on the cover, I was like, those are too clean to be a model car.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally one day I opened the magazine and started going through, I'm like, oh, shit, these are model cars. I'm like, holy fuck. And I always thought about it, too. I was like, how do I ever get my model car in here? It's like, you have to send in a picture, this and that. And I had no idea about any model car shows, like NNL West or nothing at that time. And the owner of the hobby shop, he comes up to me. He's like, oh, so you do model cars? And I was like, yeah. So he started talking. I mentioned the magazine to him. And he was like, oh, yeah. He was like, you got to go to the shows and they'll pick out your car, this and that. And in my mindset, I was like, my car would never make it in the magazine. So I just kind of ignored that whole deal after that. So I would never put that much detail into my cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then little by little, I started getting away from the model car scene. And then when I got back into it, I was like, you know what? It's been years. I got time now. Started getting back into it and doing details. And I finally went to my first NNL. This was 4 or 5 years ago, I think, when it was the theme of the Chevy, the 327 and something else. Me, I'm thinking I'm hot shit. You know, I'm bringing a few model cars with chromed out bottom pieces, this and that. I'm like, all right, yeah, I got some show cars for this. As soon as I walk in and I set my car down on the table, I look around, I'm like, fuck, my cars are pieces of shit. I got to put them back under the table.
Dang, hide them?
Yeah, but it's like, I almost did. But then David Champion was there, and he didn't really introduce himself at first because I was, like, really looking at his cars, and then first thing he said was, you got any questions? Don't be afraid to ask. I was like, in my head, I was like, shit, for real? Somebody's willing to, like, share knowledge?
Yeah, that's dope.
And then I met a few other people there. Then I met everybody else, Pancho, Johnny, Evan, I mean, Chris, and Jesse, a bunch of other guys from Table Sweeter Person.
Mm.
And right off the back, everybody's like, oh, you do this way, and if you want to do this, and blah, blah. I was like, I was overwhelmed at that time with people willing to share that much knowledge. And from then on there, I was like, you know what? I'm getting pulled back into the model car scene. It's like, it felt more welcoming in a way. Because, like, back then in the mid-90s and late 90s, like, nobody wanted to share anything. And Mm-hmm. Everybody was always in competition with each other, and that kind of killed a hobby for a while, I noticed, too.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured, you know, you put one thing in another, and that's kind of where the original idea for the pizza man started coming together.
That's cool. Like, it's almost like you had to experience that back then to feel, you know, that, like, you had to change that. So now where it's more of camaraderie and people are coming out with the info and stuff. And cause I know even for myself, and when it was like 2015 around there, when I was like doing the models, there was only so much info I was coming across online. And then also, like, I would do a search on Google. Things would come up, articles from Scalato. And I never knew that Scalato was around back in the day. I just thought, like, oh, this is, like, a brand new magazine that's out now. And then little by little, there would be, like, things I'd find on Instagram, but not. There wasn't hashtags or anything. It wasn't crazy yet with, like, flooded with information. But I did find some info, and I tried to do it as best as I could, but every year I was kind of like, all right, I'm progressing a little bit, but I still feel like I'm stuck, or this is as far as I'm going to go, you know, like I'm not going to progress. And I remember, like, the third year, I was just like thinking, like, all right, like I'm already, like, this is like my eighth model or so. And it's still kind of the same. You know, it gets a little cleaner, but I'm still like, I'm not where I want to be, you know? And I started to, my friend Rudy started taking me to these model car shows. And then I started to see people's cars, you know, with all the, you know, just tricked out paint jobs, multiple colors, patterns and everything. And that's when I was like, man, I want to learn how to do all that. Like, that to me, I was like, wow, you know, but it took time to meet people that knew how to do that, to get to it. And it's crazy, because sometimes I always think, like, man, if I wouldn't have, like, if my friend Rudy wouldn't have took me to these shows, and he wouldn't have been like, hey, like, try out this airbrush and all this and that, like, who knows if I would have still continued on building models, you know?
Yeah.
I probably could.
That's the trippy thing about it, too. But it's like, we don't know who in the neighborhood is connected to it, so, like, even NNL, one of the vendors there, damn, I forget the guy's name, and I feel bad, too. Well, anyway, that guy, like, he was a neighbor of a good friend of mine, and they lived next door to each other for, like, 15 years. JP, I think, is the guy's name. I think it's JP. Well, anyway, and I did the first pizza night, the guy was there, and he's looking at me. He's like, you know what? You know, you look awfully familiar, dude. And I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And he's like, no. He's like, it's a good thing. He's like, I know you from somewhere. And then he overheard me talking to one of the other guys there about the car that I got, the 67 Cougar. And right then and there, like, the light bulb went off in his head. He was like, that's right. He's like, you're Jay's friend. I was like, yeah, how do you know? He's like, you don't remember me? He's like, I used to live next door to him, this and that. And it all clicked in my head. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, you're the guy with the fucking garage full of model cars. He's like, yeah, that's me. I was like, oh, shit.
That's funny.
It's like, he moved away, and then my buddy Jay moved away, and then I lost contact with him. And I was like, oh, shit, I wonder whatever happened to the guy. And there he is. He's there. Then the next thing you know, I see him at NNL. I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, you're the one selling to? He's like, yeah. So it's a trip how everybody has, like not like a dirty little secret, but it's like a dirty little hobby that nobody really knows about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then for me, it happens to be like the model car world, and people at work, and even customers, and even like people in the real car community, they're like, you build model kits? It's like, yeah, I'm not just cars, I do robots like Gundams and shit like that. And it's just kind of like, for real, you do that type of shit? I was like, yeah. I mean, like, can you play with them too? I was like, nah, fuck no. Like, maybe when I was younger, when I was a kid, yeah, you could put them together and play around with them for a bit, but kind of grow out of that after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like,
you get like different.
It trips me out to find out.
You get like different reactions, huh, from different people when you tell them or when they find out?
yeah, some people think it's cool, and other people are just kind of like, how could you just sit there and do that shit all day? And it's like, it's not all day sometimes. It's just like an hour at a time or a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sometimes, like, if I got nothing else to do and I don't feel like going over, I was like, fuck it, do a mono car all day long.
Yeah, I've always felt that I've always had, like, that I have friends in different circles, you know, in different things, different scenes and just different things. And sometimes, like, I tell all my friends in, like, different little circles, and they're just like, oh, cool. You know, like, they kind of understand, because whatever I'm into with them in that circle, like, they're pretty hardcore about that. So when I tell them, yo, I'm also into this, they're like, oh, dope, that's cool. They're like, it's always like, I knew there's a scene for something else or for that. And yeah. And it's only like people that I kind of know, like they're acquaintances. I don't really bring it up, but when it kind of comes up or whatever, like they find out, then that's when the reactions are kind of different, you know? It's kind of like, like, what? Like, you do that for real? And then some people are like tripping out. Like, they're like, wow, this is crazy. I never even knew that this even existed. And some people are like, dude, I thought this died out back in the day. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know it was like an underground. Is it an underground thing or what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. It seems kind of big online, but cause, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what cracks me up too. It's like, people like find out about it and they're like, isn't that like back in the 1950s and 60s type thing? It's like, no, this shit's still going on. It's like they get all these new kits and all this new stuff and they're like, oh yeah, I remember seeing stuff like that in like ads for the 50s and 60s, but I don't know if they still do it now. Like, oh yeah, it's still going and it seems like it's picking back up pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
But
yeah, it's a trip because, you know, the like if you think about 3D printing, that's already like a precursor, like it's setting it up for the next stage for model building. Cause you know, it's working with resin and whatnot. And then later people are going to be, you know, buying, they're going to start selling 3D printers that are going to be able to print like carbon fiber and then like, you know, aluminum, metal, like different things, you know, like for someone who, let's say you got people that know how to work a lathe, right? And they got the eye for it. They know how to measure and they're just good at it. But then, I don't know, like, I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to learn all that to work a lathe for a part, you know? Yeah. But I want to somehow create it or be able to make a batch of parts. So at some point in the future, I'm sure there's going to be some type of printing machine or something that obviously it's going to be expensive at first, but then it's going to drop in price and we're all going to have one in our pad. And then you're going to be like, look, I got a printer for each thing and just be like making stuff, you know? And I wonder what that would do to like, you know, I mean, I'm sure the model stuff's they're always going to be pressing stuff up no matter what. But I would always wonder if, like, let's just say if somebody started rebootlegging, like, Impalas.
Yeah.
I wonder if we would ever get to see in the future, like, Revell or some big company going after a person, you know?
Well, that's what's tripping me out now that, I don't know if it's because the industry is so flooded with so many people 3D printing and they can't keep track of who's doing what and who's selling what.
Mm-hmm.
But I have noticed that a lot of these model companies are starting to pay attention to what the consumer's been looking for. Like they're paying attention, like, all right, these people are willing to pay $120 for this kit. So if we reproduce it for like a third of the price, it might get rid of that competition. And I noticed that. And I'm actually grateful if I can start repopping like the Grand National and the 66 Impala.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of paying $80 for a kid, it's like it's back out for $25 or $30. Like, oh, thank God. I didn't want to pay $60 for another kid. It's like anything over $50, like I got to sit there and really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like $50 for a kid and there were, you know, gas or, you know, my commuting money.
Oh, yeah, dude. And you know what's crazy is that, you know, like now they, you know, like how you mentioned the 66 out And then remember the then also that 64 with the yellow Impala on the cover by Ravel. Yeah. And I mean, we see it now and we're like, oh, dope, they're available, right? But if you think back, what was it, like a year or two? We weren't even sure if remember, everybody was like, even on the podcast, it was like having guests like Altered Works talking about it, saying that they weren't even sure if Ravel was going to come back or what had happened, you know, because they were, they had gone under and then they were, you know, they were bought out in Germany and all this stuff. And it's almost one of those things, like, we were like, that's it. It's all done. It's over. But next thing you know, it's like, there they are. They're still coming out with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because even at NNL, they have like a little pad that said, you know, what's your dream kit or what model kit you think you should come out with?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I grabbed that shit and I wrote, no more 32 model kits. Like, no more 32.4. Just too many of them out of the market.
Yeah.
Because like, every time they release a model kit, it's like, oh, 32 Ford Roadster or 32 Ford Coupe. And it's like, fuck, how many times can you redo the same car? It's like, do something else. There's like literally thousands and thousands of other car designers out in the world. They just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tripping off of, I think, AMT. They're coming out with a 67 Impala, but a four-door.
Wow, four-door.
Yeah, so it's got the grill with the bumper guards and the correct interior with the bench seat and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those kits where, you know, people are going to buy it up and just... It's going to be a donor kit for sure. Like, people want it just for the bumpers, for the lowriders.
Yeah.
And then other people want the bench seat to do the wagon, or just nothing, or the non-SS kit too. And it's good to finally see an actual four-door. Like, to me, my personal opinion, in the real world, the ugly cars is like, yeah, just get rid of them, throw them in the junk car and smash them. But like, in the model car world, like, I would like to see more of those ugly four-door cars and station wagons that nobody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be different, because, you know, it's already, how many Impalas are out already, and then how many Camaros and then Mustang model kits are out there. And to me, I'm kind of burnt out on that. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of the cars that nobody wanted to be seen in back in the day, like getting to ride home.
Yeah.
Like, I used to own a 91 Buick Roadmaster, the station wagon.
Uh-huh.
That thing was a fucking boat. It had the third row seat in the back, it had the bubble glass on the roof. All white wood green panel. I bought it and it had 160,000 miles and I think ran hella good too. Hogged up gas, but it ran nice and smooth.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, that's a model kit I want to see. I want to see a big, ugly, big wagon like that. But those have potential to be like cool customs.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully they're listening and they'll bring out something like that. And like the Datsun 510, like, yeah, the two doors are cool, but I got super excited when I found the four-door kit. I was like, holy shit. Like, as soon as I saw it, I just swiped it up and paid for it.
Yeah.
And then if they bring out a 510 station wagon, that'd be fucking awesome too. Because my brother had a station wagon. That was one of the first cars I learned how to work on. So it has a little bit of sentimental value to it. But if I do ever see one, yeah, I'm just snatching it up as quick as I can.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's a trip. I was like, hopefully... They bring out more stuff that's different. And just no more 32.4. Just the car is played out.
Yeah. You're like over it. Done. Throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how you said, like, you know, cars that you don't, it's like you don't want to be seen in or whatever. And I was just thinking about, I had a friend who is, his father had a Yugo. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like a small little car. And we would be like, dude, are you go? Because that would be the, that was like the only car in that neighborhood, that whole, and it was a pretty big neighborhood who had that car. And he's like, oh, that's from Yugoslavia, the Yugo. And I remember his dad took us somewhere. He was like, we needed a ride to go somewhere. I can't even remember right now, but we were sitting in the back and we're just driving through town and we pull up to the light and we see some. You know, you start seeing people like, oh, damn, like people you know, you recognize. And then it was one of those situations where you don't want to be seen, you know, because that little thing was crazy, dude. It made a lot of noise, too. Sounded like an airplane. And I just remember we would duck down. We're in the back seats and we would duck down to hide. And then my friend would be sitting in the front with his dad, and he'd be like, he wouldn't turn around completely, but he would just look at the rear view mirror in the center and notice, like, wait, where these fools go? Like, you know? And then he'd be telling us, like, hey, ¿qué andan haciendo? Like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're tying our shoes. But we're over here all hiding. And then he'll take off, and then we would, like, pop back up, like, oh, damn. You know, and it was, I don't know, he had that car for a while, and then that thing had to be, it was put out of commission, you know?
Yeah,
he had to get a truck. He got a Ford after that. Big, crazy upgrade from a small little car to like a big, like one of those the F-150s, but a huge one. We're like, damn, what is he going to be pulling with that thing?
But, yeah, that's a trip too. Because my dad had an 89 Dodge Caravan. It was like a metallic light brown with the wood grain panels too, the fake ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see model cars of that. That'd be fucking cool to fucking build. But
yeah.
Then again, if somebody owns their own 3D printer, I'm pretty sure somebody will start pumping them out. Mm-hmm. So that would be cool too. It's like, if I ever get to the point of owning a 3D printer, I'm not sure. Like, I want to, but then I'm like, damn, I got to work on my real cars and the model cars. And if I start 3D printing, like, there goes the rest of the hobbies. And
yeah, you got a lot on your
time
on your
to
plate.
Do one thing or another. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a lot. This year for NNL, you came out with your Candy Tamarindo car?
Yeah, the Buick.
Yeah, that thing's clean, man. That's one of the things that I admire about your work. It's super clean. Even the Santa sled is dope, too.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, bring out some more kits. But then I kind of overwhelmed myself, too. Because, like, over here, the place where I live, I don't really have a good spot to spray. So I've been taking them to work and doing them there in the spray booth, which actually works out perfect. There's, like, perfect humidity, and then, like, there's no wind at all. So I can spray them and just bury them in clear paint, and it comes out smooth. Like, both of those cars, I didn't really have to cut and buff. Like, the Buick, I did on the roof a little bit, but not too bad. But, like, the Buick, I did it how if I ever could afford a Buick Regal and build it up,
mm-hmm.
that would pretty much be it right there.
Yeah, it looks like a real car.
It's like I try to do more, like, realistic street car touches to it. But then I was, like, running tight on time, so I couldn't add more detail to the interior how I really wanted to. So I was like, all right, this will do for now. And I can always take it apart and redo it again anyway, so it's no big deal. But then the Lincoln, I always fell in love with the car, the Lincoln Futura. I've seen it through Frankie. He had it at the Vintage Alley Show a couple of years ago. And his was built all original, the same color blue, like in the box and everything. And I was like, fuck, I love that car, because I've never seen it in a magazine back in the day. That's the car they started with, and then George Barris took that car and turned it into the Batmobile. And when I finally seen one at NNL, was it last year? I was like, fuck it, I'm getting it. And I bought it for $20. The casting on it is terrible, because you're using the same casting from, it was like the 60s or 70s, and you glue it all together and it's all warped. So I had to heat it up and twist it and sand some parts down. I got to the point where I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm not feeling anything rough, because I'm going to have to use a lot of filler to smooth this thing out to be like show quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I just buried it in paint and clear, and it's as good as it got for me. So luckily, this is a quick curbside kit too.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring more different things out. But I think out of all the newest cars I did, which is those, the Chevelle, I was working on it for a while. It was kind of like an on and off project. I fucked up one of the rally stripes when I was doing the vinyl top, and I was doing like a little demonstration on Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
And when I peeled the tape back, it peeled the clear off too, and it peeled the decal off. I'm like, ah, shit. So I put it away.
Dang.
And then, damn, I can't remember people's names for some reason. I should have wrote them down. But one of the guys from Instagram, he sent me out the decal and he just saved the day, slapped it back on, got the car done. Yeah. And then he met me out at the pizza night. He was standing there looking at the car and he's saying something and he tells me, oh yeah, I'm here to collect my beer for that decal. I was like, oh shit, that's you. And then right when I was going to get up to him and start talking to him more, I got bombarded with people. Like, oh, what's over here with pizza night? I was like, oh, shit. And it distracted me for a little bit. And I felt bad, too. I was like, man, I really did want to buy him his beer that I owe him for hooking me with that decal. But running back and forth and then taking out cars for the awards and meeting people, which I'm truly grateful for. But it's like I really did want to meet more people there that night. It's just like you say, you know, like 2, 3, 4 hours just goes by like nothing when you're just having that much fun.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's almost like let's say for you doing that event and everybody on Instagram knows you and they're going there to support you. It's as close as like being a, like announcing like, yo guys, it's my birthday. Like come, I'm inviting you to my house, to my birthday party, you know? And everyone's there for you. And then at the same time, you're overwhelmed because everybody wants like to talk with you, you know, for a while or something. Yeah. And you're kind of like, you know, you get bombarded and it's like, dang. So it's understandable. Like totally. I'm sure your homie that hooked you up understood, you know, like, oh, he's busy, you know, because, yeah, dude, everybody's like, yo, what's up? You know, wants to say what's up to you and because of what you got going on right there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so hopefully next year I'll be able to find another spot that's probably a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, last minute, if it's a last minute thing, I'll probably end up using the same spot.
Same spot, yeah.
I think
yeah.
I'll plenty of time. Yeah, I got plenty of time to figure it out too. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. How do you feel now? Like as of late, messing around, like we stepping away a little bit from the model cars and having some time for like Gundams.
Yeah, honestly, like, leading up to NNL, like, even, I actually finished the Buick a few days early, almost like a week early for NNL. So I finished it, and after that, I was like, fuck, all the stress is gone. Like, I don't have nothing to rush and finish for NNL. I can actually kick back and relax a little bit. So I started going through my storage boxes, and I found my old Gundam kit that I bought 3, 4 years ago, and I was custom painting it and starting it, but I fucked it up. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to get back into this for a little bit. So I jumped back into the Gundam thing for a little bit. And it's good because it's kind of like, it's almost like a cleanse, but then it's kind of like teaching me more like a, not obedience, but I don't know how to say the word, but it's just kind of like making me focus more on detail now for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I've been on YouTube, yeah, and I've been seeing guys from like Korea, Japan, Taiwan and a few other countries, they do videos of them building like the Gundam kits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trip. Like some of these guys are so damn talented with these things where they'll take everything off the trees and throw them into separate buckets, pre-wash the parts and then put the kits back together with no instructions. I'm like, how the fuck are you guys doing that?
That's hard.
But it's like, yeah, it's overwhelming how they do that. But then when they start putting it back together, cleaning up the edges, getting rid of seam lines, and then scribing more panel lines in there, and then cutting some of the panels out to give the armor more of a 3D effect. And it got me hooked right away. And discipline, that's the word I was thinking. So getting back into the Gundam thing is teaching me discipline on how to like focus more on detail, making sure when I cut this up and put it back together, that's it's cleaner and I put more effort into it. If it's going to show, like you want to make sure that it's nice and clean and it looks like it was never there. And now that I look back on some of my kits that I got for some model cars, I got a Porsche that I'm going to do, a 911 Turbo, and I got an old school 70s Ferrari Dino, which I'm going to do custom because I looked around forever and I've never seen a custom one. Like beyond extreme custom, like I've never seen anything, but just like a rear, just kind of like race car setup. They're simple. I've seen them and I'm like, I'm not too impressed. And a buddy of mine has a shop. He has a real life Ferrari Dino in there, the same thing as a model car, but he has a real one. He's doing all the metal work and he's restoring it for the owner. And I'm looking at it. So I was like, you know what? This is my chance. If I do the model kit, if I need reference for details, I'm just going to go come here and look at the real car when he's putting it back together. So doing the Gundam things, it's like the details are so small. It makes you focus on how to clean up the edges when you take the pieces off the trees and then clean up the spur of the edges and blending lines and making sure everything looks like seamless. So
Yeah.
Now I'm focusing that detail on the model cars. It's like, all right, when I cut this open and do this and this and that. If you look at the real cars, when they got the sunroof, it's not just a square edge. Sometimes they got a little step because they got the rubber seal that goes around. Now I'm thinking of adding that to some of the pieces when I cut them out. And it's a trip. Yeah, like even as far as painting them too. Like I didn't know that the Gundams is kind of the opposite of the model cars. Where model cars, you could pre-paint things and put them back together and it makes no difference. And then when I tried custom painting that one Gundam kit, I pre-painted everything. I was like, oh yeah, this is looking clean. It's like gunmetal gray with gloss black and then flat black. Put it all back together, and you see hell of little fucking white spots and color spots where I cut them off the tree.
Oh, dang.
And
yeah.
I try to touch it up, and it looks worse, too.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, it looks fucking terrible. And after seeing the videos of these guys building the Gundam kits, it's like they pre-build the whole thing, and then they take it apart. Then you clean up the seams and then paint every part individual, or like the arm, the leg, the torso. Then they go back in there with super fine detail and cutting. I'm like, holy shit, like, these guys go super far out into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps. When I started getting into the panel lining with the scribing and all that, I started to buy books on it and also look online all the different designers, like how they're putting all this stuff together to get some influence and ideas. And the more I started to kind of, I guess, like study it more, I'd be driving on the freeway and then, you know, I would see like a Honda or a Toyota, like certain cars pass by, newer models. And I would be like, I would look at the taillights. I would look at the, like certain cuts or panels that were on the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that right there, that angle or that shape right there, that's like, dude, that's like on a Gundam kit. You know, like that's like on an arm or on a leg. And I'm just thinking like, you know what it is? It's because like, you know, like out in Japan, these guys grew up on this stuff. You know, this is like all like they've known all their lives as kids. And now they're, you know, if they were born in the 80s, you know, now they're in the 30s, or even if they got guys who are young in their 20s and they're designers and they're working, you know, for a car company. I'm sure they're developing, they're switching up the style of the car, the body shape and everything, but they're also kind of bringing in a little bit of an influence of, you know, just the fandom of robots.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and that's the thing too. It's crazy. I've been a fan of like the robot thing since I was a kid. Like when I was tiny, I think I was like 4 or 5 years old. I still have like rough memories that my brother would watch the cartoon of Mazinger Z. Then years went on, and then we found one of the action figures at a hobby shop, and now they started producing the Gundam kit of it. When I seen it, I was like, oh, shit.
That's the one you sent me, right? The photo?
Yeah. And that's a small one, too. That's just like the high-grade one. And then I seen that at New Type HQ, they got the bigger one, too, that's like 16 inches tall. I was like, fuck, I want that one too, but it's like $160.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luckily, I'm working on my buddy's motorcycle, and he's like, man, just make me some handlebars, and I'll get you whatever you want. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, the handlebars you want me to make will take me an hour to make, so buy me this kit.
Yeah, give me that.
Done deal, fuck it.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I've been always watching cartoons like that, you know, Power Rangers came out, and the Megazord, which I do have the action figure that, and then there was also another show around the same time Power Rangers came out. It was called Superhuman Samurai. And then I became a huge fan of that show. And then this kid named Joe, a little kid, like younger, he's like 15, 16, that works at the shop with us. He had mentioned something. He's like, because I brought it up at work one day. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a SSSS Gridman or something like that. And I was like, hold on, you know about it? He's like, yeah, they rebooted it. And it's like it's an anime now.
Oh, damn.
Seeing that and they're rebooting it, too. I was like, holy shit. And I actually got that figure tattooed on my left leg.
Oh, no way. You got to show me that.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. It's not done all the way, but it's mostly there. And I went to the San Jose Super Toy Show like 2 years ago. And the guy had the same action figure that's like 10 inches tall with that same Superhuman Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
and you had a brand new in the box, never been opened. I'm looking at it, looking at it. I was like, how much you want for this, dude? And he's like, that fucking thing? So nobody ever knows about that thing. And he's like, give me $10. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I got juiced. And I give him the $10.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you didn't even hesitate or try to talk me down. And I told him, like, oh, this is why. And I pulled my left leg pan up and I showed him the tattoo. He's like, fuck, man, I should have said $50. You probably would have paid for it anyway.
And you would have seen that, right?
Yeah. That show, the Super Toy Show in San Jose, it's at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. It has everything. Like, sometimes they got some old school model cars there, not too much. When it comes to Hot Wheels, there's this one guy that has over, like, a few thousand on sale. Then there's like sports memorabilia stuff, but then there's a huge section that's probably like two rows deep. It's all Gundam stuff too, and like that guy has almost every kit you could think of too, and he'll tell you, like, if I want to have it here, he's like, here's my website, and I forget the name of the shop that he has, and he's like, if I don't have it here, you could pay for it now and I'll mail it out to you as soon as I get back and you'll have it within 2 days. And he's like a legit shop too.
Wow.
He was telling me, too, that they make the Gundam kit of the Superhuman Samurai, but it's not cheap, though. I think he said the cheapest one he had for sale at the time was, like, $90. And I was like, damn, and it's hella small, too. It's only, like, 8 inches tall.
And that, wow.
I was like, I'm not trying to pay that much. Like, I have the action figures from back in the day. That's good enough for me for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest one I have, it's a Master Grade. I have like a few of them, but I mean, they're not that big, but still, like, compared to like a perfect grade, those things are huge.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Those are, what do you think about the new Type HQ when you go in there?
I haven't been in there yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm still saving up, but It's like the video you put up and a few other people I've seen online put up videos.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I gotta leave my credit card at home and just go with a certain amount of cash.
Yeah, you might see some paints that you want to put on a car, because they definitely have different colors. That I mean, they're different tones, different from Tamiya and, you know, Mr. Hobby or even like House of Color. Yeah.
That's why I trip out on the Gundam stuff. Like, the colors they use are more, like, vibrant, more brighter and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at some of those colors online. I'm just sitting there thinking, I was like, yeah, some of these colors will look cool for some of, like, the cars that I'm going to do this year are going to be more of, like, European and exotic cars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull away a little bit from the lowriders and the muscle car scene for a little bit and just kind of focus on something completely different, just to kind of get back into the groove and just get more into detailing more.
Yeah.
But I know that Neotype, they carry all kinds of good stuff, you know, like scribing tools, tanning pads, and then
they do
little snips and everything. And it's the snips that I've been using for years. They're for they're automotive snippers. They're like little snap-on ones.
Uh-huh.
And the wedge, the angle they have, they work really good and they're sharp, but it's too thick at times. So when I got to get tiny little pieces, they don't work.
Yeah, dang.
And I see some of the other the snips they have for the Gundam kits, and they're super tiny and sharp. I'm like, fuck, I need to go get those, dude.
Yeah, I use the God Hand ones. They have them there too. They're a bit pricey, but they're worth it. I use a couple different ones. So I use that one, and then I use this other one that's it's also a God Hand, but it's a different model. So basically, I use that one to cut off the like the piece off the sprue, but I still leave a little nub on there still. So then I can come in with the other nipper, and then when I cut it, like, now it's like a flush cut. But I'm cutting it in like really close in a soft little area, and then I'm using the other one when I'm cutting right through that thick piece of styrene. So this way, I don't damage those other ones, because those other ones, they cut clean, but they're not really meant for cutting like really hard, thick styrene.
Yeah.
I've seen photos of people busting them up, like where they're trying and then bam, it breaks. But if you take care of them and you're just cutting off the tiny little, you know, where basically where your piece connects to your styrene, you're gonna get some clean cuts right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but those are dope. But yeah, like everything they have in there, it's like I was like, you know, I was like overwhelmed seeing all the stuff right there and all the kits, dude. I was like, God damn, it's a huge warehouse.
Yeah, and I've heard all kinds of stories about them. Like the shop they used to have, I think it was, didn't they start in Hayward or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That they were in a different location.
I heard they got broken into or something like that, and that's what made them move to a different where they're at now.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
They were saying like it was better where they moved into now because it's bigger and they got more stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, man. It's like I need to take up more side jobs so I can just spend some more money in there.
Right? Get some more stuff. Is there any, do you have any dates set or plans for later this year for another meet?
Yeah, I think I'm going to shoot for probably the 1 year anniversary for the pizza night.
Oh, yeah, that'll
be
dope.
On the same night. So it'll probably be either the weekend before or the weekend after.
Uh-huh.
It's just I got to see how my scheduling goes, but I was doing more of those model car and coffee meets too in the Saturday mornings, but since I'm helping my buddy with his car, I don't have my Saturday mornings free anymore.
Yeah.
And I figure I'm like, man, I might as well just do a pizza night. At least some people work Saturday mornings too and they can't come out to the coffee meet. So if I do the pizza night, you know, they get off of work and just come over and hang out. It's always still a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be shooting for somewhere in March, you know, and as soon as I get that said and done, you know, I'll shoot you over the
keep me posted.
Flyer info and everything.
I'll help you share it. Definitely, dude.
Yeah.
No, that's but cool.
Like, hopefully this year we do the Vintage LA Model Car Show. Last year we had to cancel it because it was actually the same day as Caddy Fest, too. Mm. So a lot of participants from out here went to Cadillac Fest, and I was like, all right, so there's only going to be like three of us showing model cars.
Yeah. Dang.
So a lot of people that pre-registered ended up calling me and like, hey, bro, so I can't make it. And then I was like, oh, it's okay. No worries. I mean, it's just the name of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this year is on a different date, but the Vintage LA Show is usually in September, the first or second week of September.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And time's going to fly. So you'll be busy with that once it comes
up. Hopefully I have at least two or three cars built for that.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but otherwise, like, I got to work on some awards for the pizza night, too. I think I'm going to pre-cut a bunch of the pizza slices, so I have them ready to go, and all I got to do is just paint them up or machine them.
Uh-huh. Get them all ready. They look bad, man. They look so bad. Like, to have one of those, you know, like, for the people who get them, like, George was, like, so happy. When I saw him with the thing, I was like, dude, that's a cool award right there.
Yeah, because I try to make something a little different. Like, I like the plaques and everything, the ribbons and everything people get, and, like, little small trophies. But, you know, like, something that's different that stands out like that. People are going to ask questions like, where'd you get that from, and why does it look like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of helps spread the word out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my boss trips out, too, when he walks in during lunch, and then he's sitting there watching me like make metal pizza wedges. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, nothing, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's cool. He doesn't trip though, you know, he lets you do your thing.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, he kind of tripped out when I told him how much I'm into like the model car stuff. He's kind of like, I want to talk shit about it, but he's like, it's not really a nerd thing because it's like, it's a car thing. He's like, if you're doing boats or tanks or other stuff like that, he's like, then I'll call you a nerd. But he's like, no, he's like, cars, he's like, I can relate to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I noticed through the automotive community. The people that come out to the pizza night sometimes is like, they don't do model cars, but they just want to check out the little model cars.
Yeah, they want to see them.
Even one of the pizza nights I did, some lady walked in to get some pizza and she's looking over at the table. And then I walk away to get a order another pizza, and she comes up to me and she was like, oh, what's going on over there? I was like, oh, nothing. It's just, you know, a little small gathering. We all build model cars and this and that and blah, blah, blah. She was like, model cars? She's like, as in, like, kind of like model airplanes where you build them and paint them. I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah. And then right off the back, she's like, my brother used to do them back in the day and blah, blah. And she's like, my dad used to have a 71 Chevelle. And I pointed out the one I have. I'm like, this one? She's like, yeah, it's just like that and blah, blah, but a different color. And it helps kind of bring people in because it gives people memories of, like, oh, they'll see a certain car and be like, I remember this from back in the day. And oh, I remember that, blah, blah, blah. And that's always pretty cool to strike with people and get them all excited over something so small.
No, yeah. There was a, at the Model Fest, there was this guy who came up to my booth, and he was with his son. And he was just like, his son rolled up, and he was checking out the cars. And on one side, I had like a bunch of like import cars. And the kid was just like, just staring at all of them because the box art, you know, they're all in different colors, really bright. And yeah, they were like some Aoshima kits, and he was just staring at them, and he would grab one, then another one, like very indecisive. He didn't even know. He wanted one, but he just didn't know which one. And and then his dad came up, and then I said, what's up? You know, I started chopping it up with his dad, and then his dad started to tell me, like, man, he's like, I just found out about this show, like, a couple days ago. He's I'm glad I came. He's like, I didn't even know people were still doing models and stuff. And I used to, I used to do models back in the day. And then he's like, I cut my finger. He's all showing me his nail and everything. He's like, this is where I cut myself. Look at my nails. They didn't even grow right or whatever. And then, he's like, I still remember that day, man. It was with the number 11 blade and all this stuff. So it was cool, like, hearing him out. He's like, but yeah, my son, like, he's been looking at stuff online, and he was kind of the one who found out about all this. And so I'm here bringing him because he wants to build a model car. And so the kid ends up getting like a model car and then some paints, and then his father was just like, here, I'll get this. You know, they were just like really excited getting stuff.
Yeah.
And then the kid's like, hey, man, do you know where I could find more kits of this stuff? Like at a store? I'm like, oh, yeah. I know Burbank House of Hobbies, like, has tons of these, dude. Like, they have a lot. They're in Burbank. So once you walk in, you go to that back section on the side. And, dude, like, what I have, this is nothing, dude, compared to what they got, you know? And then he was like, oh, okay. He's like, telling his dad, like, yeah, you got to take me out there, kind of type of thing, you know. And the dad was just really like stoked about it. And I was telling him, yeah, the next show is going to be, I was telling him about SoCal Open. I was like, that's going to be another one, man. If you're around here local, you should hit that up. You're going to see a lot of stuff at that show. And then there's going to be a lot of vendors too.
Yeah. What's trippy too, back to the Gundam thing, the hobby shop in Berkeley, it's an Ace Hardware, but part of the Ace Hardware is a hobby shop. I don't know if I told you in the past, but...
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, once a month, the guy told me, I ran into the owner that not too long ago, and he was telling me that there's a club, because UC Berkeley, the colleges are, like, right next to it, and I guess once a month, there's a club of where all they do is Gundam kits, and they meet up there at the shop, talk, and trade, or so, whatever. And they just hang out at the shop, and I was kind of looking at him. I was like, so do they still do it? He's like, not as much anymore. He's at one point, there was like 40 of them that would show up to the hobby shop, and it was just Gundams everywhere. He's like, now there's probably like 6 or 7 of them. He's a lot of people are graduating, leaving, and then they're not spreading the word and this and that. So I've been trying to catch up to him to see where he's doing, if they're still doing them. But he said if they do them, it's like not, it's never the same day. It's never the same time of the week or nothing. It's like there'll be a Monday or a Tuesday or a Friday.
Damn, that's
and
crazy.
He was telling me, he's like, yeah, if you're into that shit now, he's like, man, just come out and hang out. And he's like, the guys are hella cool. And he's like, some of them bring out like boxes full of just extra arms, hands, legs, helmets, and all this. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I said, they get deep with things. He's like, yeah, they've been doing it for 15 years already. He's like, why do I never run into these guys when they're doing that type of stuff out there?
Yeah, right? Man.
One of these days I'll run out there and check them out, see if they're still getting down and doing that too. And
Doing the
tell them about the pizza night. Like, I bring them out here too.
Yeah, I know, right? You can have it all set up. Now that's dope. That's pretty cool. I know, like Dennis Matthews out in Florida. Once a month, he goes to a hobby shop and they do a build day. So Everybody, all these people come together and they all know each other, you know, because they do go out there and it also helps the business because people get, as you're building, some people get hyped up and they're bringing out new products. So you go out and you buy the kits and you're like, screw it, I'll build it right now. Type thing. But it's crazy because when I get started on them, like let's say I open up a brand new kit and I start working on it. You know, I'm starting with the, like the torso or whatever. And then I'm all right, now it's time to do a leg and then the other leg. And then I'm getting to the arms, but it's always like a process. Cause depending on the kit, some of them have a lot of parts to form the leg. It's almost like you have to like create like the skeleton of it. And then you attach the pieces to that. And it's like those real grades have a lot of pieces on them. And then the master grades have a lot of pieces too, but it's mostly the real grades that have a lot of pieces that go on there.
And that's the other thing I noticed with them too. Like as you're building them, I always miss a little detail that says like when you're doing arms, it's times two. Or other little pieces. And you get to the end of it, it's like, all right. And I'm like, wait a minute, I missed it. When I look back in the structure, it's like, oh, fuck, I got to do it all over again too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing I've been learning about with the Gundam things, that it's like you got to learn to pay attention to the instructions for real this time.
Yeah, because when every time I'm looking at them, there's like the instructions are, they're on their little squares, but then there's like tiny little things in there. Like it's telling you, like, don't cut this or cut that. And then, like you said, this one times two. And you know, you keep, in the beginning, I was just going step by step, but now I'm getting more the hang of it. I'm just like, when I focus on just one piece, I'm cutting like all those pieces off and then I clean them up.
Yeah.
And I start assembling. I just gather everything up and then I go through the instruction one more time and start putting it together. I'll send you some pictures later of like other ones that I've been working on as well.
Yeah.
But it's been cool messing with them. Just because, you know, you learn something from it, you adapt from it, and then later you put it onto the cars.
Yeah, that's true, man. Because like, even after watching those guys on the videos, how they're doing their kits, at first I'm like, ah, it's just a robot, it's easy to do this, do that, blah blah blah. But then like, you see the videos of the guys putting them together, the way they're cutting the pieces and cleaning off the edges and then using the cement to close up the seams and then just kind of like polishing that edge to them, just kind of like, fuck, if I do it to my model cars, it'll look a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So even now when I'm looking at on the table right now, I have a little Ferrari Dino and it was already started. I actually got that one at an NNL. The guy had previously started, he painted the body and I'm looking at it from the distance. It's like, oh, it's not too bad. It's pretty clean. But I'm looking at it closer because I do the Gundam things now and it's like, this looks like shit. That looks like shit. This needs to be cleaned up. This needs to be sanded down more. And it's like, not bashing on the guy's work, but it's like,
mm-hmm.
Like, all right, I'm going to strip the whole car off its paint. The paint job's pretty clean, the yellow, but it's like the body work and the prep's like, that's terrible. It's like, it's going to get all cleaned up again.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna cut it all up anyway. It's like the front, I'm going to cut it, put a scoop on it in the front, like a spoiler. The back, I'm going to cut it open more too, do a rear diffuser, and I'm going to do a twin turbo setup on it too. And I might cut the fender wheels open a little bit more and spread them out to do kind of like a box blur setup. Just nice. To give it that more aggressive custom look, but it's like, all right. It's like, all right, and now I know what to cement to use, what filler to use. And as far as doing like the detail for sanding, it's like I've been paying attention to the guys in the videos with the gun. I was like, all right, they use this, they use that. And then I noticed some of them have like sanding files too. And I was like, I need to get a set of those.
Yeah,
dude. Luckily, since I've been doing metal fabrication, I've got similar tools that I use too, but they don't come out as clean as like some of the ones they use for the model kits.
Yeah, there's these sanding sticks and pads from, it's called Infini, and they're based out of Korea, But New Type has them. They sell the sets and they also sell individual sticks. But I would recommend to buy the set. They have a precision set. They also have another set called the Zebra, which is just super like, I think it starts at 80 grit and it goes up to like 120, 200 and so forth. But it's really like rough. The Zebra. Yeah. So there's Zebra, then there's a precision one. And then after that, there's another one. I forget the name of it, but it is more like a foam style. And I recommend that foam one when you're sanding like round areas, because it'll sand down, let's say, a seam line, but you'll still keep that round contour or shape.
Yeah, it won't give you like flat spots or anything.
Yeah, it won't flatten it at all. And the precision one, that one's good if you want to flatten something. You know, and those sticks are so good. Like, they're really good. I feel like having those and then having the God hand, those two work hand in hand together. Really good. Mm. Yeah, those I recommend those for sure.
Yeah, because I noticed that when like my fiance goes to her makeup supply stores and everything, at first she used to get hella bored in there. It's like, oh fuck, I'm ready to go. There's nothing in here for me. And I started paying attention to like the nail piles and everything, and then some of the like the cotton swabs they use, they're like the Tamiya ones where they're pointed, but they got different sizes. They got some that are like a quarter inch thick, and they got some that are 1/8 inch and 1/16 inch. I was like, I'm like, damn, here I am like an idiot going to fucking, you know, paying like $7 for like 50 of them. And then here at the makeup store, it's like $2 for like 200 of them and shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then I was looking at the like the nail files. They got a bunch of different ones. I picked some up that are like a 1/2 inch thick, but they're super soft and spongy. But they're almost like where you're polishing the plastic at one point, like you're super smoothing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I use on the Buick a lot too, to redo the hood and the tail fin when I shaved it off. That's all I use, and it's so long and so smooth that it actually cleans out evenly instead of just having, you know, a small section at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I've been doing too, when I was doing a few motors back in the day, I had bought sets of feeler gauges to do like the valve adjustments on the cars. So I'm sitting there going through my toolbox, and I had extra ones. I was like, man, I got a bunch of different ones. And I looked, I was like, you know what? Well, this metal is pretty hard because it's a hard metal. You know, it doesn't flex that easy. And then from doing body work too, I got a bunch of different like grits of sandpaper for the DA sander. So they got the sticky back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the feeler gauges. They're about like 1/2 inch wide and probably like 4 inches long. I stuck the sandpaper to them and trimmed it around. And that's kind of like my little super fine like sanding file, so I could get in there and just shape some stuff.
Yeah, like
I have other ones where I cut them down, trimmed them down to a really fine point, or others like more squared edge or round edge. So that's what I've kind of been doing right now as a cheater way, so I get, you know, a nicer setup through New Type HQ or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, there's all these like things like out there, you know, just gotta either try them out, discover them, or just get the idea and just try to make something of your own.
Yeah. Well, thankfully for the Gundam stuff, they're kind of like making me focus on different things, like what they use for tooling, especially for cutting and cleaning. It's like the amount of like snips that they have. I was like, man, I never paid attention to how important those are.
Mm-hmm.
And like the ones I've been using, the Snap-on ones, like they work good and everything, but they're more of a heavy duty cutter. So if I got to cut a huge piece, it'll cut through it.
Yeah. I think my friend Alvin, he was telling me that he uses, he has like Snap-on cutters too, that he uses that and something else. But he said they're small, the ones he has.
But he said the advantage of the Snap-on ones, like if, say if you do dole out, if you accidentally drop them and you break the tip of them, you could exchange them for a new set. So they got that lifetime warranty. That's the only advantage about them.
Yeah. How much are they?
I think I originally paid like $40 for them.
Okay.
And I'll send you a picture of them with the part number and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have more of a fine point until actually I was using them one day and broke the tip off of it.
Oh.
Yeah, so I took them to the grinder and I grind them down and I cleaned them up and I was like, you know what? These will still work.
Yeah, you extended maybe the life.
Yeah, but that's the good thing about them. They're like, they're so damn expensive, but they do come with a lifetime warranty. So if anything ever happens to them, they could exchange them out no matter what.
Yeah, damn, that's tight. That's pretty cool right there. Yeah,
but I just wish they were smaller and more angled, like the ones from like God Hand or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll send you photos of the ones I have, so you get an idea. I was really comfortable with these Tamiya cutters that I kept using for years. And then once I got this other one, it was almost like, oh man, I feel like I kind of have to retire it. Like, I have it in my toolbox, but I rarely use it, you know? But it's, yeah. But that thing was like my workhorse. Like, I always use those. And as of late, I have not, but maybe I should one of these days so it doesn't feel bad.
Oh, that's the other thing too, my hobby knife. I got tired of like the rubber grip kind of like slipping and twisting.
Uh-huh.
I got rid of it, and then on the lathe at work, I spun a piece of aluminum, and I actually put knurls in it. And it's thicker, too, and I had to put, like, little set screws on the side so it slips over and it grabs on. And
oh, nice.
Cutting with the hobby knife with the fatter grip like that, it makes it so much easier. Like, your hand doesn't cramp up or doesn't get tired.
Yeah.
And it's like, for a while, I was like, man, I'm going to start making more different sizes and everything.
Maybe you can make those your signature holders and sell them.
Yeah, I might do that. It's just I got to find the time to do it at work.
Yeah. Right?
Especially like during my lunch. But it doesn't take me that long to make them. Like, I just got to buy a bunch of the same hobby knives and shit. And just make a grip for them.
Put them together.
So like even my buddies that do tattooing, their machines too, they do the same thing. They put the fatter grips, so it's more comfortable to hold, and they're doing shading and all that. And your hand doesn't get tired at all.
Uh-huh.
Hey, so like, I took that idea. I was like, you know what? I want to see if this shit will work for hobby knives. And it did too.
Yeah, hey, you might be onto something right there. You get more Gundams.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And more kits. Yeah, dude. That would be tight. Yeah. That would be tight right there. Is there any shout-outs you want to give out before we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, actually, I want to give a shout-out to everybody that made it out to the pizza night. You know, a lot of people came from the East Coast, from the South, Midwest, West Coast, up North Coast of the West Coast over here. And if it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't have been as much fun. And then I want to thank you for helping me spread the word. I mean, Armando, I mean, everybody, dude. It's like, I'm really grateful for, you know, the turnout that it came out. And it's pushing me to go even further with this thing. So, you know, hopefully within a couple of years, I'm hosting my own big model car show. And, man, it's just, I'm still, like, every now and then, like, I keep going back to it and seeing pictures, and it's like, damn, it's like it really happened. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Nah, my pleasure, yeah, dude. Yeah. Whatever I can do to help, that's awesome right there. I'm happy you did it, you know, and I congratulate you on the upcoming 1 year anniversary, and just keep doing what you're doing, dude. Have fun with it. And it was a pleasure, dude, having you back on again on the podcast, and we'll do another one, you know, just keep me posted with what's going on in the future. All right.
Oh yeah, for sure. And one more thing too, I want to congratulate you on your engagement too. So.
Oh man, thank you. Yeah. That was, I know I haven't said anything on the podcast, but yeah, I'm engaged. You know, official right now on the record. So
yeah, trust me, I'm on the same boat with you. So
yeah. Oh hell yeah, dude. Thanks. Yeah. Nah, likewise. Yeah, man.
But thanks again for having me on there, dude. And thanks for everybody, and thank you guys for listening. And then if you guys got any ideas for anything, or you guys want to meet up for model car stuff or model car talk, just let me know. Any future events that I got coming out, I'm sure to just spread the word and trying to do more to get more of the model car community together, you know?
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Alex. Well, you have a good night, man, and we'll keep in touch. All right, man.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.